This is a Triple M Footy podcast with all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy. It's Tom Brown's news.
Round 11 saw a wild weekend of upsets with the Hawks stunning St Kilda, the Giants winning their third game in a row at Cadinia Park, and the Suns holding off the Dogs in Darwin. It's been just as dramatic off-field too, and Tom Brown is here to run us through all the latest news. Tommy, let's start with a story you broke this morning about some off-field change at Carlton.
Yeah, already some off-field change at Carlton, Rudy. Craig Matheson, who's a high-profile director at Carlton, has stepped off the board. The key reason is that Craig had a blue with the president of Carlton, Luke Sayers, in the change rooms in Sydney on Friday night. It was a verbal, non-physical altercation. But in the view of the president of Carlton, Luke Sayers, it wasn't to the professional standards with which he expected. And Craig Matheson has agreed to step down from the board over the weekend. It was only a short verbal altercation, is my understanding, but it was obviously noticed by some families of the players who were in a team meeting at the time. We were actually up there and our camera wasn't able to get access to the Blues rooms post the loss. I'm not sure if this was the reason, but it took place after the game, and Luke Sayers has sort of drawn a bit of a line in the sand over the weekend and put Craig off the board. It's obviously significant because a Matheson, i.e. Bruce, and then obviously Craig, has been, you know, very closely involved with the club for a long time, as have obviously the Pratts. So it's sort of a bit of a shifting of the guard, if you like, from a Blues board perspective. It's probably now the smallest Blues board they've had in some time. And it sort of represents, I guess, a shift towards sort of a form of new Carlton, if you like. And obviously Bruce, which is Craig's uncle, is one of the biggest benefactors of the club, having given them an annuity stream or a money stream from his pokies worth about $3 or $4 million a year. There's no sign at this stage that Bruce, Craig's uncle, would withdraw that type of support from the Blues, but clearly they're fed up with what's going on. In terms of, you know, Craig's position, he hasn't commented today, but sources have suggested that he's just had enough. It wasn't all about Friday night. That was the culmination of his frustration, I guess. And he doesn't think they've implemented some of the directives which they proposed to do in recent years. And I think he's not necessarily frustrated with Michael Voss, but he's certainly frustrated with some decisions in the football department in particular, some long-term contracts and those types of things. Having said that, in fairness, Craig hasn't spoken yet. So you could say there's been board turmoil at Carlton over the weekend. Rudy, certainly, with Craig Matheson's departure with this blue in the rooms post-Friday night up in Sydney with the president, Luke Sayers, who didn't think it was to a level of professionalism with which he expected. So Craig's agreed to step down from the board over the course of the weekend, and that was formalised this morning, Rudy.
Now, you mentioned Coach Michael Voss before, Tommy. What does this mean for him?
Well, Luke Sayers, the president, has a 50th birthday for his wife, organised in Europe the next few weeks. So Michael Voss is safe for the next period of time. There's no doubt about that. Luke's going away on a prearranged family trip. There's strong alignment between Luke Sayers, the president, and Brian Cook, the CEO, on what's going on at the club. So there's no issues there. As to what that means for Michael Voss, they hope they'll get a bit of a rally on and their season will get back on track. But my understanding is that the season is absolutely short of Sayers and Cook's expectations at the moment. And they'll judge the season when they can look at the totality of the season, i.e. at the end of it, and they'll make an assessment of what they need to do. Does that leave the door ajar for the making a change on Michael Voss? I guess it does, but that's premature at this stage. I mean, they've got other levers they could pull. They could make a change to the football boss, Brad Lloyd, who's made a lot of these key appointments. They could look at getting more experienced assistant coaches in. For example, if you look at Collingwood, Rudy, they've got at the moment Brendan Bolton and Justin Lepich as their assistants, senior assistants. They've both got previous senior experience, but now they're in assistant roles at Collingwood. So maybe Carlton will look at their mixture of assistant coaches. I know Ash Hansen's highly regarded, but he hasn't had senior experience. So maybe that's a lever they could pull and stick with Voss. So Voss is safe for the moment. Is he safe at the end of the year if they miss finals? He's not absolutely safe because their club at the moment is falling short of the expectations of Sayers and Brian Cook. But Michael Voss is safe for the moment. Long term, you know, I've got my doubts, but it all depends on the results, Rudy.
So it's not going to happen anytime soon if it does happen. Now, for the broader board, I suppose, what does it mean for them?
Yeah, just briefly. I mean, obviously it means it's a smaller board at Carlton at the moment. Luke Sayers is going away. We don't have any direction on whether they'll replace that position at the moment with Craig Matheson going off the board. But the board, I think, is aligned now without Craig there. Craig had some sort of more older school football views on certain areas. And look, in a way, I'm not discounting Craig's contribution or speaking ill of that. But in a way, this might actually further align the board, this development today.
Every Wednesday, it's Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
It feels like I'm coming out to fight.
Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damien Barrett break down anything and everything AFL. The Midweek Rub. Get it every Wednesday by following Triple M Footy on the Listener app.
Now, Tommy, you've joined us from the road, and I do appreciate you giving us some of your time. We've spoken a little bit about Carlton already. Let's talk a bit more about them, but more on field this time. They're challenging the ban against Adam Chera.
Yes, Adam Chera and also Sydney with Luke Parker are both challenging these dangerous tackle one-week bans, which is interesting, Rudy, isn't it? Because a few weeks ago, there was sort of uproar over the change of interpretation on these sling or double motion tackles, which were seeing players ruled out. We then saw players adjust for a few weeks. But over the course of the weekend, obviously Sydney and Carlton believe that it's still a grey area and they want to go to the tribunal. To be honest with you, I don't like their chance of success. I understand that it puts a heavy emphasis on the player, and obviously it's difficult for the player because we expect players to tackle as hard as they can. But I think players have adjusted in recent weeks, and I think the rules are fairly clear in regards to dangerous tackles, but that will be tested at the tribunal with Chera and obviously Luke Parker, and that's massively important for Sydney. I mean, he's one of their most informed players, clearly, but they'll be tested at the tribunal this week.
And just before we move off the MRO stuff, Dane Zorko, he might face some scrutiny for contact to the face of Luke Pedler, let's say. He can be cited for unnecessary or unreasonable contact to the face, just like Toby Green did in 2019.
Yeah, it looks like a fairly straightforward potential case of that, Rudy. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case when the MRO findings come out tonight. They haven't been afraid to use that rule before, but it obviously just turns on the vision. What did you make of that?
Unnecessary contact to the face, I think, covers it pretty comfortably. I'm not sure why his fingers need to be there.
No, I agree with that. And I think I imagine that Michael Christian will share the same view.
Every Triple M Footy podcast is in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app now.
Let's talk some injuries before I let you go, Tommy. Steel side bottom, unfortunately for him, 300th game, all about him on the weekend. And then, was it 12-minute mark? He was off with a knee.
Yeah, so he's got this medial MCL knee injury. Now, the Pies had some light celebrations at Platform 28 in the Docklands last night, Rudy, for Steele's 300th. All the players were in attendance, and I don't think he's had a scan as yet. So I think he's getting that as we speak, early this afternoon, and we'll know more. They're graded as mild, moderate, or severe. Hopefully it's not severe. He was in good spirits. You might have seen on our coverage last night when he was walking around the room. So, and he walked off the ground, so I don't think it's severe. If it's mild to moderate, a couple of recent precedents, Max Gorn, who missed 5 weeks, and Darcy Cameron, fellow magpie, missed 6 weeks. Jack Steele had a similar injury recently and only missed 1 or 2 weeks. So there is a big variation. What they do is they scan those to make sure that there's no further damage to the meniscus or indeed the anterior cruciate ligament. So fingers crossed there shouldn't be. But I imagine it's medium term. That's certainly the language coming out of Collingwood. Pat Lipinski was there yesterday in the rooms. He's ready to come back in perhaps just a couple of weeks. So he would be an ideal replacement, almost like for like, for Sidebottom. Plus, Sidebottom was probably due to have a bit of a breather around this bye time anyway. So I'm not suggesting the injury's in any way good, but Collingwood does touch would have a bit of depth for their supporters in terms of covering that at the moment. But it was heartbreaking for Steele. Collingwood, he got the banner by his neighbours when he left the house yesterday in his street. He drove through that and it was 300. He's one of the most popular players in the history of, certainly in the modern history of the club. And there's enormous admiration for Steele. And it was a bit heartbreaking to see that injury yesterday. But fingers crossed, Rudy, if it's medium term, that he'll be back for a big run at the finals. But it is an injury blow for Collingwood, who have had a relatively good run. They're still missing Howe, obviously, and Cameron and a few other players. Well, obviously, Cameron's back, but they've missed, obviously, Howe, Lipinski, and also their forward, McStay. So they've had a couple of injuries, Collingwood, but this will just, I guess, expose them a little bit, but hopefully Lipinski can come and fill that role.
Sticking with the injury theme, Tommy, a hamstring for big Sean Darcy at Freo?
Yeah, that looked like a fairly standard hamstring injury, that one, Rudy. So you'd expect him to miss somewhere, you know, between 2 and 3 weeks, but the Dockers are flying, and they've certainly got their season back on track, so that's a positive for them. But Sean Darcy a notable blow in that regard. There's still talk, obviously, at the end of the year as to whether he'd return to Victoria, but separately, obviously, he's got this injury.
Another hamstring for Asava Radicalea down the highway, Tommy.
Yeah, so it's an interesting discussion, that, isn't it, Rudy? What's your view? I mean, Geelong now find themselves in a similar position to last year, but one less in terms of the ledger at this comparative time. And Radicalea's injured. It obviously comes on top of, you know, some injuries that are, like, they're missing, what, Dangerfield, Holmes, Guthrie, Duncan in the middle at the moment. It's, you know, and they find themselves in an unusual position, the Cats. What do you make of that, Rudy?
Well, as a Geelong fan, I can tell you I'm very concerned about the midfield. They seem to be getting belted in there every single week.
And, Rudy, just one, perhaps, to finish off with this afternoon, another big story bubbling, which we've covered, obviously, in recent weeks, is this Hawthorn negotiation and mediation. The complainants are actually considering stalling participating in the negotiations and just considering their options. Jason Burt, who was the welfare manager, spoke to The Age, Jake Nile, on Saturday and made some allegations that Chris Fagan and Alistair Clarkson were either in or at the house where they separated one of the couples, and that's certainly changed the landscape in terms of the negotiation. So the four complainants at the moment that are participating in these negotiations are actually considering even going off in their own direction and almost withdrawing from the negotiations with the AFL. So that is in danger of collapsing, and there's a lot of pressure now on the AFL to try and salvage that deal that would see, I think, the AFL apologise and acknowledge, make some acknowledgements, and also commit to better training. But it would also see Hawthorn and the two coaches largely exonerated. Part of the deal is that the complainants could preserve action against Hawthorn and the coaches in the future, and that's where the discussions are at. But for the moment, those discussions are on life support.
Yeah, a very complicated one there with lots and lots to play out. Thanks for calling in today, Tommy. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Rudy. Obviously, big news from Carlton, and we'll be back on Wednesday and Thursday. And a big news week. This is the season so interesting after a lot of upsets over the weekend.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more. And subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener to get all our podcasts throughout the season. Barine Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.